Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This week on the Eurotrip, like a 15th-century traveller, we're off to Denmark, Iceland and Belgium.
It's time for the Eurotrip.
Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes! I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, oh, are you Bella Fist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Loreen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, Executive Supervisor at the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast, with me, Rob.
Me, James.
And this week, not one, not two, but three guests talking about Eurovision 2024.
This last week, Rob, has just been ridiculously busy, and I just feel like I'm not on top of it whatsoever. Has it been the same for you? Do you just feel overwhelmed with the last week?
It always happens, doesn't it, when we get to the second half of February. Like, you have a combination of internal selections, artists that have already been selected then announcing their songs or revealing their songs, and national finals. It's just all a lot at once, and it can all get very overwhelming, and I'm sure you are feeling the same listening to this. So we will do our best to try and cut through all of that and try and get a grip with what is happening on the episode today.
Yes, as we record on Tuesday afternoon this week, there are 7 more songs in for Eurovision this year since we last joined you last Wednesday. So we'll try and focus on as much as we possibly can, including Dansk Melody Grand Prix in Denmark. So they were one of the countries to select their song and artist at the weekend. It is Saba with Sand, who's going to represent them in Malmö. So I'll be chatting to Ulla Topholm, who is the Danish commentator at the Eurovision Song Contest, to find out more about that.
And then, earlier on this week, or this morning, at the time that me and James are recording, we got Belgium's entry for Eurovision 2024. There is a huge amount of chat about that. Could Belgium be one of the contenders to win? So James will be chatting to an expert over there to find out more.
And also, we'll be shining a light on Songverkeppnin in Iceland by chatting to Hera Björk, who is attempting to represent them at Eurovision again this year.
So we've got all that and more still to come. You're listening on Acast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip.
So yes, plenty to pack into today's episode, so buckle up, plenty still to come.
Any mention of anything to do with aeroplanes, and in my head, buckle up is that. I can't not think of Scooch. I don't know if you're the same. Whenever I go on a plane, whenever I go on holiday, I think of Scooch. That is the lasting legacy of Scooch.
Classic Eurovision fan behaviour, that is. Really, honestly, any thought of an aeroplane, Rob always thinks Scooch.
I'm not going to be the only one. Anyway, thank you very much to all of you who have been getting in touch with us over the last 7 days since we were with you last. We will get to some of your correspondence in a moment. But first, a huge thank you to Eurofiasco, who has been very generous and bought us 3 coffees over on buymeacoffee.com. So Buy Me A Coffee, this is where you can donate to support what we're doing here on the podcast. Me and James were always incredibly grateful if you do that. And thank you to loads of you for being so generous. You don't have to. You can still enjoy the podcast however you do that, however you listen. But if you do want to donate and support us, you can, and we'd be very willing to accept. But thank you to Eurofiasco, who bought us 3 coffees and said, great work week in, week out, guys. You're the one must-listen Eurovision podcast in my feed since you launched. So Eurofiasco sounds like has been with us since the start, James.
Yes, very, very kind. Thank you so much for donating, and to everybody else who has done on Buy Me A Coffee.
And if you want to, if you want to be like Eurofiasco, buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip podcast.
Yes, indeed. Now, I want to chat about weddings again. We talked so much about weddings and the Eurovision crossover last week. And then ended up chatting about a couple of listeners who listened together and then got married and had Eurovision running through the veins of their wedding.
It was a shame, wasn't it, that Kira and Mark, this is who you're talking about. Hello again, Kira and Mark. I'm sure you'll hear this at some point. It's a shame that Kira and Mark just didn't play out an episode of the podcast during the wedding reception. Wouldn't that have been nice? When everyone was sitting down, having their meal, rather than playing some nice atmospheric music, they could have just had me and you doing the 1 second song or talking utter nonsense. That would have been cute, wouldn't it?
Would it?
Honestly, if you want to pop the Euro trip on at your wedding, feel free. But yes, hello to Kira and to Mark, who, as we said, and as James already said, listened to the podcast, listened together, and got married a few weeks ago and had a Eurovision-themed wedding. Well, we mentioned this on the podcast last week, and James, I'm delighted to say that Kira has been in touch.
Wonderful. I know one thing, we were chatting about their tables, and they were all, we think, named after Eurovision songs. And we were trying to figure out why the top table was named after Zitti Abroni. I don't know if you've got an answer to that.
Well, here we go. So Kira says, I'm going to read this message in full because it's very nice. And Kira has also taken the time to message us while on her honeymoon. So it seems a bit rude if I started skipping through some of it. Kira said, hi, James and Rob. Good morning from Australia. Myself and Mark are catching up on the pod just now and wanted to say a huge thank you for the gorgeous shout out on last week's episode. So kind of you both. I mean, it's the least we can do. Didn't get you a gift, so it's the least we can do. For info on the rest of our table names, we chose Zitti Abuoni for ourselves, so as the top table, because we wanted to pay homage to Italy's most recent win, as Turin was the first Eurovision we attended in person, and we got engaged in the grounds of the arena on the night of semi-final 2. Isn't that nice? Kira goes on to say, we also did our first dance to a post-ESC song by our favourite act of 2022. Friends of the Eurotrip podcast, We Are Dommy. It was We Are Dommy's Paradise was their first dance. Honestly.
Very nice.
Sponsored by the Eurotrip podcast, this wedding, I tell you. We aren't on a Eurovision-themed honeymoon, unfortunately, although I'm sure we'll still be milking our honeymoon in Malmo. So they're going to Malmo, but they're travelling around Australia. Are they flying to Sydney? Isn't that nice? So then maybe they're still in Sydney by the time they listen to this, or maybe they're on their way home. The rest of the table names, James, if you're interested. So Zitti Abuoni was the top table. And then the other tables, Kira says, were somewhat done to match the personalities of the people that were on the table. So make of that what you will. So the other tables were Fly on the Wings of Love, Rock and Roll Kids. I think you'd have wanted to be on that one, right?
I would, yeah, definitely.
Making Your Mind Up, What's Another Year, Waterloo, Hold Me Now, Fairy Tale, Hard Rock Hallelujah, Tattoo, Euphoria, and All Kinds of Everything.
Which one would you want to be on? I would want to be on, Rock and Roll Kids. But what about you? Where would you want to be sat?
I'd quite like to be on Hard Rock Hallelujah. It just sounds like it would be where the chaos would happen. That's where I want to be.
What, and you'd fit right in with that chaos.
Bit of wedding drama. Yeah, I'd like to be on there. A Lordy-inspired wedding table is a winner for me.
Well, thanks, Kira, for getting us up to speed. And yes, do go and enjoy your honeymoon. It sounds like you thoroughly deserve it. But a quick mention to Richard as well, who got in touch with us at Eurotrip Podcast on Instagram, who said, hello, about Eurovision in the Wild and weddings. So a bit of a crossover for you, Rob. I know you like your Eurovision songs in the wild and Eurovision at weddings. So a bit of a crossover. He said, in 2022, I attended my pen pal's wedding. He goes on to
I was about to say, go on. No, do go on.
Yeah, he says, yes, I really have a pen pal, a friend with whom I only communicate via letters and vice versa. So yeah, they still do exist, pen pals.
Maybe this could be our nichest call out ever. Have you ever attended your pen pal's wedding? Or maybe we can broaden it out. Do you have a pen pal and have you discussed Eurovision with them?
Yes, exactly. So Richard goes on to say that, so he was at the wedding and Eras 2 was played and everybody, at least everybody from Spain, sang along to it. So this was, of course Spain's entry in 1973. Also, to wrap that up, he says his friend told him that it's a traditional song to be played at Spanish weddings. So which I didn't know that either. So another call out. Have you been to a Spanish wedding? And did they play Eras 2?
I was about to say, do you reckon they'll be playing La Zora at weddings from now on? Although, given what that song actually means, probably not. Oh, well, if you've got anything that you want to get in touch with, any of what we've just said, Eurovision songs at weddings, we always love a Eurovision song in the wild. I'm sure we'll bring that back very soon. Do you have a pen pal? And have you ever discussed Eurovision with them? At Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. You can also send us an email. We are hello@eurotrippodcast.com. And for all of our exclusive stories, of which there are always a few, you can read them over on eurotrippodcast.com.
Time for all the latest news then, of which, as we've already made fairly clear, there has been plenty since we joined you last Wednesday. So 7 days since we last joined you, and seven new songs are out for Eurovision 2024. Just to rattle through them, we got songs from Germany, Moldova, Estonia, Denmark, Lithuania, Poland, and Belgium. So Germany selected Isaac on Friday night. Nice to have a Friday national selection. Of course, we spoke to the German head of delegation last week as well, didn't we? So she gave us the full insight into how that selection was going to work and such like. I want to jump ahead to Estonia as well, Rob. Do you want to just remind us who won over there and what the song is?
I was going to do this to you, so how dare you? So this was, of course, James, Five Minust and Pull Up. And they will be, of course, singing their entry, open bracket, Nendest, close bracket, Narku Tikumidest, Ietiemi, open bracket, Kul, close bracket, Midagi.
Yeah. I think, yeah, well done.
Not the longest song title in the history of the Eurovision Song Contest either, as we have since discovered. Spain have had a longer one. Is it Spain 2011 or 2013?
Yes, Spain 2011. Yeah, but I think you are sending me down a rabbit hole here. I could speak at length about it, so it's up to you whether you want me to or not.
Oh, we've got three interviews to bring you on the podcast this week. Do we have the time? Go on,
In fact, we will find time later on in the series before we get to Malmö, because I can go down a bit of a rabbit hole with that.
Okay. You can't tease people like that.
I just have, unfortunately. But yeah, so naturally a very busy weekend and a fascinating story in Moldova as well. So we found out that Natalia Barbu, so she represented Moldova back in 2007. Well, she won the national selection again on Saturday night. But there was a bit of, I don't want to use the word controversy, because I don't think it is a controversy necessarily, but perhaps a bit of confusion about how the votes were tallied and whether the jury or the public had preference, because it ended up in a tie between her and Valeria Pasha in the end.
Yeah, when you collate the votes from the jury and from the tally vote, they both ended up with the same number of points, didn't they? It was another one of those classic national finals where the votes are converted into 1 to 12 points in a Eurovision fashion.
Exactly. So although Valeria Pasha ended up with a lot more televote points than Natalia Barbu did in the end, they just converted the ranking into points. So whoever won the televote got 12 and so on and so on. So it ended up in a tie, but it sounds like it wasn't clear from the get-go whether the jury would have preference in the end or the public. So it turned out it was the jury. But what it just does show is that wherever you go across Europe, the rules for national finals tend to be different when you hop across borders. So it creates a bit of drama.
Love a bit of drama. You said, I think, didn't you? You sent a message in our little chat and you were like, oh, I love this.
I just find it fascinating because, of course, when we get to Eurovision, we know the rules inside out. And a lot of us fans and perhaps nerds know exactly what happens when there's a tiebreak and all that sort of thing. But for national finals, they don't always follow the Eurovision rulebook, and there's no reason for them to. So there is just a bit more jeopardy, and I find it fascinating. I love it.
It does show, doesn't it, that regardless of also the televote jury split, there's always something to talk about, whether it's 50-50, 70-30, 60-40, whatever it is. The fun that is Eurovision, it's just the gift that keeps giving.
Exactly. Also, we should quickly make a reference to the UK, Ollie Alexander. We were hypothesising last week, weren't we, Rob, about exactly when we were going to get the song. We knew it was going to be March the 1st, didn't we? But I was suggesting it, we may get a tease of some sort the day beforehand. But we now know 20 to 11 in the evening, we are going to get the video premiere to his song. So that's on Friday the 1st of March on Graham Norton's show.
Yeah, very, very exciting. And also, that therefore means, I think, doesn't it, that the remaining question that we have is when will be his first live performance?
Are you still counting on it being the Brits the day after?
That would make the most sense, so I will go with that. But yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? We saw Ollie and Nutza from Georgia hanging out last week because Ollie was filming the music video in Georgia, which was very fun.
Anyway, shall we look back at last weekend a little bit more? Because as we mentioned, Denmark selected their song with the return of Dansk Melody Grand Prix. Another great show from them over in Denmark. Although, yet again, you were chuckling, Rob.
No reason. You carry on.
Okay. Did I make a mistake? Perhaps
No, you didn't make a mistake. I think the laughter was purely. I'm not saying that I feel like this, but I think a lot of people are often quite ambivalent about Denmark, aren't they? And Dansk Melody Grand Prix. So you saying another great show. Some people would agree, some people wouldn't.
Well, shall we chat to somebody who was there for the show and can give us an unfiltered opinion on exactly what it was like to be there? Sorry, were you going to say something else?
Well, you say unfiltered opinion. Does this person not work for the broadcaster? Not that unfiltered either, is it? However, a brilliant guest.
A brilliant guest nonetheless. Ulla Topholm, who is the Danish commentator at the Eurovision Song Contest for DR, the Danish broadcaster. So he was there in the arena. If you are watching Esti Laul, you may have seen him pop up there as well because he gave the vote on behalf of the Danish jury. So I caught up with him earlier on Tuesday after he had jetted off for a three-week holiday to Brazil. He was speaking to me from his hotel room in Rio de Janeiro.
They do often say that Denmark is the... Hold on, which way around? They do often say that Brazil is the Denmark of South America.
Right, okay, yeah, well, Denmark is the Brazil of Europe, for that matter. So Ola caught up with me from his hotel room. You can hear a lot of maintenance work going on in the room next door to him, so forgive the noise, but he makes some great points nonetheless. So this is what happened when I caught up with Ola a little bit earlier on. Ola, welcome back to the Eurotrip. It's great to have you back on.
Thank you.
It's great to have you back. It's been far too long. I feel like I should just get to the big question to begin with, which is this song going to get Denmark back to the final of the Eurovision Song Contest?
I think it is. It was the best song for that. For that, I'm not sure about the other songs in Dansk Melodi Grand Prix if they were strong enough to get Denmark back in the grand final at the Eurovision. But I think this was the It's the best one for Denmark.
And generally speaking about that live show, it was a bit different to usual. We were in the concert hall, weren't we, in Copenhagen, rather than in an arena. And there was also no Danish language songs. Perhaps for the first time ever, or at least for the first time in a long time. So the show felt a little bit different as well, didn't it?
Yeah, and it was also a story, you know, in the days before Dansk Melodi Grand Prix, where are the songs in Danish? You know, a lot of people, they enjoy if we have a song or two in Danish, and we have always had that. And, you know, for 20 years ago, one of the rules in Dansk Melodi Grand Prix was that all songs has to be performed in Danish. And then you can do the English lyrics at the Eurovision. For instance, Olsen Brothers, they had two hits in Denmark when they won, the Danish version, Smuk Som Et Stjerneskud, and then the English version as well. And in Denmark, every people can both versions of Olsen Brothers, and that's really charming, I think. But no, this year it was all in English. And I know some of the artists, they had a Danish lyrics ready for the song, but in the end it was all in English. For instance, Spasim, he also had a Danish lyric for his song, but he chose to perform it in English as well.
You mentioned Basim there. Of course, he represented Denmark 10 years ago now, which is quite a scary thing to say because it just feels like 2 minutes ago, but 10 years, a decade has passed now. Was there much excitement about him returning to the competition? Do you think a lot of people in Denmark were maybe hoping that he would have managed to go back to Eurovision again?
Yeah, and he also won the public vote. It was because of the jury. We now have Saba and the song Sand in the Eurovision. And it's not surprising that he was the winner of the app voting and SMS voting, because he's very likable. People love him. The first time we learned to know him, it was an X Factor in 2008. I think he was 15 years old at that time, and he has been very likable since that time. And he almost owned the scene, the stage at the Dansk Melodi Grand Prix. So it was actually no surprise that he was the winner of the public. But it's no surprise other that the jury had another winner than Basim.
What is interesting is that after the show, the head of Dansk Melodi Grand Prix had come out and he had to sort of defend the voting process in a way, because there was some criticism that Basim, even though he won the televote, a lot of viewers sort of felt that he then had a right to win the whole competition as a whole, right?
Yeah, and every time we have tried that the winner of Dansk Melodi Grand Prix is the choice of the jury and not the public, then it's a big story in Denmark, because a lot of people, they wanted to be 100% public vote. But you know, it's also a result of that when the public is choosing the winning song, then we are definitely not going to the Eurovision Grand Final. That's the experience we have learned. And but you know, you still have to have some kind of public voting in the Eurovision, at the Eurovision Song Contest, the Melodi Festival, and in Dansk Melodi Grand Prix. Otherwise, you know, it will not be a part of a modern TV show if it's only a jury who is going to decide which song is the best. Then you can, you know, cancel the contest and then just pick up a song for the Eurovision.
What do you think it would mean to the Danish people and the Danish viewers of Eurovision if you were to get back to the final this year? Because what has it been now? 5 years since Denmark was last in a grand final. What do you think it would mean?
Since Tel Aviv, I think that the debate will be different. If we are going to the grand final, then everyone are going to forget that it was a jury song which won the Dansk Melodi Grand Prix and not the public voting. But, you know, if we are not going to the final, then the debate will continue in Denmark about the jury, fire the jury, and, you know, now we only want public voting in Dansk Melodi Grand Prix. And that debate will continue if we are not going to be a part of the grand final.
Let's wait and see what happens. Ulla, I am going to let you go now because, as we know, you are a huge fan of Eurovision. We saw you in Dansk Melodi Grand Prix at the weekend. You popped up in Estee Lauer as well to do the results. You then jetted off straight away to go to Brazil on holiday. And am I right in thinking, when you fly back, you head straight to Stockholm for the final of Melfest?
Yeah, because, you know, like everyone else, I'm a huge fan of Melody Festival, and so I will be there for Friday night and Saturday night, of course, in French Arena in Stockholm, and I'm really looking forward to that one.
Well, Ulla, thank you so much for joining us. You get yourself away, enjoy your holiday, and enjoy Melfest, and I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to The Eurotrip,
the world's favorite Eurovision podcast.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
So welcome back then to The Eurotrip. We are still waiting to hear a brilliant interview that we'll be bringing you shortly with Hera Bjork, of course, Iceland's representative at Eurovision in 2010. She's hoping to represent them again in Malmö, so we'll be hearing from her later. And we'll be chatting Belgium in two ticks, James. But first, another thing that we talked about on the podcast last week. So we talked about Eurovision at weddings, which we've already mentioned. But we also talked about, I can't quite remember how this came up. I think you brought it up. It was Eurovision and Zumba.
Where did that come from in the end? Really not sure, but nonetheless.
You suggested, didn't you? And again, I can't really put my finger on why, maybe I suggested that we should do dance classes or dance lessons in Malmö.
I certainly would not have suggested that.
I've remembered now, somebody got in touch and said that they heard a Eurovision song in the wild in a dance class in Malta.
That is it. Yes, very so well done. And somebody's been in touch about, and then we talked about Zumba, and somebody's been in touch about Zumba.
We said, didn't we? We asked, is Eurovision on your Zumba playlist? Is where we ended up with. So Jane has been in touch on the email. So hello at eurotrippodcast.com. Thank you, Jane. Jane says, not on my playlist, but a previous Zumba teacher used to slip in Eurovision tracks to classes. I clearly remember these three being used. So Allez, Ola, Ole, France, 2010.
Very Zumba.
Very Zumba. That almost sounds like it's a like an insult. That's very Zumba. La La Love, Cyprus.
Very Zumba.
Yeah. And Zalale, Romania, 2013.
Mm,
I don't know what was 2013. It was 2012, wasn't it?
2012 as well, yeah. But very Zumba, yeah.
And the one that used to make us laugh and sweat the most, there's another one. Alcohol is Free, Greece, 2013.
Wow. I wouldn't have said that one was particularly Zumba, but clearly does the job.
Apparently so. Well, clearly does a sweaty job. So says Jane. Jane also says, she adds, a recent non-Zumba Eurovision in the wild, which we're always keen to hear. James Newman, My Last Breath, on the Blacks in-store radio in Shrewsbury. Blacks is like an outdoors shop, isn't it? It's like a mountain warehouse kind of vibe.
Is it? Sounds southern. I don't think we've got one up here.
No, you must have a Blacks.
I don't think we do have a Blacks. I'll tell you if we've got a Blacks.
Sorry, this is a very UK-centric conversation for any of you international listeners. While James searches that, I'll finish Jane's email. Jane says, keep up the work. Love the podcast. Thanks, Jane. Well, Jane, thank you very much for getting in touch. And as I've already said, if you would like to do the same, feel free to do that on the email hello@eurotrippodcast.com.
Yeah, apologies. Apparently, we do have a Blacks over at the Metro Centre, so not a million miles away from me.
That would be the Metro Centre being the large shopping centre on the outskirts of Newcastle, won't it, James?
Yes. Well, you could just say it in Gator. Yeah, I think that's...
I'm sorry, James. James, if you are listening to this podcast and you live, for example, in Sweden or Lithuania or Australia or, you know, where we know we have lots of listeners, they are not going to know where the Metro Centre is.
It's a large shopping centre. I think it's one of the largest in the UK. Do you live in Lithuania? Have you ever been to the Metro Centre? Get in touch.
No, we're not doing that. So yes, anyway, thank you, Jane, for her email, and apologies that we just got sidetracked there on the location of quite a niche outdoors shop in the UK. James, please take us on to Eurovision 2024, which is why we're here, because I think me and you are of the same opinion, which doesn't happen very often, and that is that Belgium may have a pretty decent chance of winning Eurovision 2024.
Well, I was certainly pleasantly surprised when I heard the song this morning when it had been released. I know it had been sort of accidentally played on a radio station on Sunday evening.
That's something we do, doesn't it?
Yeah, I resisted temptation and waited, and then heard it this morning. I was pleasantly surprised. It was not the type of song I was expecting. So this is Before the Party's Over by Musti. And he was, if my memory serves me correctly, the first artist to be announced for Eurovision 2024. I was in Dubrovnik Old Town when I found that news out. Do you remember where you were?
It was when you were on holiday, wasn't it? So probably wedding planning. It's probably at home.
Well, yeah, anyway, yeah. So I remember finding out that he had been selected, and I've been anticipating his song ever since. And it's been released today, as we say. So to find out a little bit more about Musti, to find out a little bit more about the song, and to find out what the Belgian people are expecting in terms of a result at Eurovision, I thought we'd catch up with Sven Garain from songfestival.be to find out a little bit more. Sven, welcome back to the Eurotrip. It's nice to see you again.
Yes, yeah, same. So last year we had a chat about Gustav and because of you. And now here we are again.
Exactly. Here we are again. And we're going to be chatting about Musti. His song was released a little bit earlier on today as we chat, although as we mentioned, it was sort of leaked, I guess, on Sunday. We tell us about that, because it was an interesting one. It got played on a radio station, and I guess they weren't meant to, were they?
Yeah, that's the story that I know as well. So I don't think with our website we have already received an official statement from them, but I think, yeah, something must have gone wrong there, because actually it's the official part was today. But yeah, on Sunday evening, a radio station of RTBF already broadcasted the song. So yeah, it was a surprise, I think, for many people. And as I saw in the news and on social media, it was a surprise for Musti and his team as well.
But the reaction that we've seen since it's been officially released, I think the general response has been overwhelmingly positive. Do you agree?
Yes, I've seen them. I've seen them as well. And to be completely honest with you, I'm a little bit surprised with that. I think it's a good song. It's good quality. Once again, I think, yeah, both RTBF and VRT these last years have done already great things and have already worked on the quality and improving the level each year. So I think the song is good. It's a good quality and a good production and so on. So you see there's professionals who worked on that. But for my first feeling, it was a little bit, is it something for Eurovision? Is it not a little bit too dark, a little bit too... Yeah, we have done this in the past with Belgium. We have Hooverphonic, we had Senec. We have had Blanche, Loïc Notin, already a little bit in the same genre. Jeremy Mackay as well, a little bit in the same darker genre. So That's a little bit why I was surprised that it was already going so high in the bookies as well.
Yeah, it is a strange one, isn't it? Because I remember when Musti was announced, I was expecting a high tempo pop song to go along with him. But when I heard it this morning, it was quite the opposite. But what it feels like to me is that this is the sort of vibe that Belgium has been trying to do over the last few years. You mentioned some of the previous artists. So maybe is this year finally going to be the year where when we see it on stage, where we see that live performance, it's really going to work for the viewers and for the juries, do you think?
Yeah, you know, Eurovision is always, it's always a surprise. You cannot really forecast. This is the correct word, I think so. I think it's a risk, but yeah, each year actually it's a risk. Last year, I think when Gustav was chosen, the day after we had this chat as well, and then bookies were so negative. All the reactions on social media were so negative. But then Gustav went to Liverpool. He gave such a huge performance and all these visuals and so on and so on, and he became surprisingly seventh. So then yeah, it was also a risk. This year it's also a risk. So it's difficult to forecast. It will depend a lot, I think, of the other countries, of the other songs and the other atmosphere in this year's festival. It's always depending a little bit on the timing and the moment.
That's the thing. It is down to the live performance, as we say. What do you think he needs to bring? Because we've mentioned it is quite dark, but then, you know, it builds up into this really powerful chorus at the end, doesn't it? So visually, I mean, it's hard to guess and it's hard to hypothesize, yes. But what does he need to bring for that live performance?
First of all, I think, and that's sometimes a challenge at Eurovision these days, live vocals. I think when the live vocals are completely right and can give goosebumps to people, to juries and to people at home, then it's already a plus, I think. So I haven't heard him singing live yet, because here in Flanders, in the Dutch-speaking part of Belgium, he's not really well known, Musti. But even if he's a good singer, so we still need to see how he's doing it on Eurovision, because it's a completely different. We have seen in the past so many professional singers go to Eurovision Song Contest, but sometimes when they arrive there, they are a little bit impressed by the staging, by all these people. And then the nerves can sometimes bring some unclear notes as well. So I think, first of all, the very good vocals will be very important. And staging, yeah, good visuals, work. Don't know what to do with dancers, maybe, or maybe just him alone, because then it makes it maybe a little more dramatic. So yeah, I'm quite curious about that, but I really hope they will bring something creative and something out of the box.
And obviously expectations are high after last year. You mentioned we spoke at this time last year when Gustav had won the national selection, and maybe hopes weren't that high, but then he goes and gets a seventh place at Eurovision in Liverpool. So clearly, as Belgian fans, you must be thinking, well, obviously we want to try and do even better than last year.
Yes, of course, of course. After last year, the hopes are high again. Eh? I think these last years, I think both broadcasters, RTBF and VRT, they have really done good things, because Belgium, we had our very weak years at Eurovision. Between I think 2004 and 2013-14, it was very difficult for us. I think we had one or two qualifications and then quite good results. And then since 2015 with Loic, it has improved a little bit. It has improved a lot, actually, then with some lows again in 2018 and 19. And then I think with Hooverphonic and Jeremy, the result at the end was not what we wanted. But I think they have worked hard, these delegations, to improve each year and each year. So I think, yeah, we need to go to the highest possible now, and then keep on track and keep this level. So yeah, expectations are high, but still maybe as a little bit a careful Belgium, or how do you say it, I want to wait until Malmö and see how things go, because bookies are not always right. So let's remain down to earth and look what it will bring.
Absolutely. I feel like I always say, let's wait and see. That's just my phrase of national final season. We just have to wait and see for Malmö. Sven, thank you so much for finding some time to chat to us. And speaking of Malmö, let's catch up again then when we see Musti on the stage.
Yeah, would be great. See you there. Thank you very much.
Well, James, lovely to hear from you, as always, but even lovelier to hear from Sven there, talking to us about Belgium and their hopes and dreams for Eurovision 2024. And I think another promising result on the way. Of course, Gustav did a tremendous job. And if Belgium's song can get me moving in the Eurovision Village like Gustav did last year, then they're on to a winner.
Yeah, you certainly liked a good old boogie to Gustav last year, didn't you?
I nearly put out a groin, I think, in the village at one point. I nearly had to go and see a physio or go and see the medic.
Anyway, shall we look ahead to this coming weekend? Because Songverkeppnin, the second semi-final over in Iceland, will be hitting our screens on Saturday evening. And Hera Bjork, of Eurovision fame from 2010, is hoping to be representing them again at Eurovision 2024. So 14 years later.
Indeed, she brought us Je Ne Sais Quoi, did she not, in Oslo, one of my personal favourites from the 2010 contest. So very exciting to have Hera Bjork back on the podcast. I say that as if she's been on before. She's not, but she's just the sort of person that gives off the impression of being an old friend. She gives off that vibe, don't you think?
I get what you mean. Yeah, I do get that.
Yeah, well, talking of old friends, we are now going to hear somebody interviewing Hera Bjork, who you may have already heard here on the Eurotrip podcast, if you're a long-time listener. To the untrained ear, it may sound like James. It's not. It's James's brother. It's Callum, who writes all of our brilliant stuff up over on eurotrippodcast.com and who joined us every single day from the contest in Liverpool when we were bringing you our daily episodes from there. Well, Callum caught up with Hera last week ahead of Songverkeppnin. And here's what happened when they caught up.
Hera Bjork, welcome to the Eurotrip. How are you?
I'm good, and thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure entirely. And I should probably also say welcome back to Songverkeppnin. Many people will, of course, know you from 2010 Songverkeppnin, Eurovision, of course. But you were there in, what was it, 2007, I think it was, and 2019?
Yeah, I was in 2008 and 9 and 10, and then 15, and a little bit 2019 with Hatari, but not as a part of the delegation. Just I was there already to perform at Eurocafe and other places. So I did a little like vocal coaching with them, which is something I also do. A little off when I need it. I can't say no.
Eurovision, you can never say no to it. Never. Tell me why now was the right time to come back.
Because of the song. When I heard the song, when Austis, the writer, sent me the song and asked me to do it, I was just like, no, I have no time for this. And this is not like in my plans. But then I listened to the song. It took me about 30 seconds to realize that I was wrong. It was in my plans. I was going back to Eurovision because the song is just so good. And it has all the elements I love. And it's about that. It's, I've been asked this question since 2010. Oh, when are you coming back to Eurovision? And my answer has always been the same. When I get the right song, when the right song comes along, either written by me and co-writers or someone from someone else, and I will just like, okay, this, it feels good in my stomach, I'll be back. So that's now.
That is now. The song, Scared of Heights, or correct me if I'm wrong on this pronunciation of the Icelandic version, Vifurumhara?
Vifurumhara, yeah.
It's infectious, it is up-tempo, it's modern. How does it make you feel when you sing it?
I love it. I really, really love to perform it. That's why I just said yes. I mean, I knew it. It fits my voice really well. You know, I need to work a little bit, to perform it, but still there's nothing in there that's like, oh, that note, oh, no. You know, there's no anxiety involved. which is fantastic. I just need to go on stage and perform the song and the lyrics. And the lyrics speak to me as well, because both versions, even though they're a little bit different in the lyrics, but the core meaning of the song is, do not let fear control you. Keep on going, go higher. If you're scared of heights, like for instance. And it's like the English version is a little bit like the metaphor that you lose your wings when you are in a, you're ending a relationship or you're losing someone that you love. So you are heartbroken in one way or another. And you become scared of loving again, because heartbroken is not a state that we like to dwell in. And we don't like to like go there again. But we have no control over it. So we just have to keep on moving and grow wings again.
What are your goals for this participation? Are you're in it to win it? Are you aiming just to have fun? Tell me, what are your goals?
I'm always in it to win it. When I enter, I'm in it to win it. I mean, that's just my way of doing things. But winning it doesn't really have to be like I'm there, like gloating at the others, like, hey, look at me, I'm one, you know, because I've been there. It's about getting the ticket to go further and do some more winning. And do some good, like in this instance, like in this case, for my country. I would love to, because I actually have a message now. And it's like, don't be controlled by fear, which is the song. So it really resonated with me and just my core. And also, like I said before, this needs to be a conversation. We have to, I don't know, we just have to make peace.
Nice to hear from Hera Bjork here on the podcast today, and thanks to Callum for finding the time to chat to her. He was chatting to her for something exciting that he is working on that you'll find out a little bit more about in the next few weeks and months. But before we wrap up today's episode, as we usually do, it's time for the 1 second song.
Yes, indeed. James, can you remember the score?
I can. I've got them written down still because I am in the lead. It is 11-8 to me.
Oh, so I'm not that far behind then, only 3 points behind. So if you get no points this week, which is a possibility, and if mm-hmm. I then get the full 4 next week, then I could be back in the lead. I did win last year, of course.
Oh, God. You remembered that you won last year, blimey.
Oh, right. Don't you worry. I'm still reliving the glory days in my head. Don't you worry about that. But yes, the 1 second song, it is, of course, how we end every show. We play 1 second of a Eurovision song and the other person has to guess what that Eurovision song is. 4 points on offer. We'll tell you what those points are for shortly. But James, for you and everybody listening, here is this week's 1 second song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's a confident mm-hmm.
It is. There's some confidence here. Let me just have it one more.
Yep. So what James is trying to guess is, of course, the name of the song, the name of the artist, the year it was performed at Eurovision, and the country it was representing. So here it is one more time.
I'm definitely getting something here. So this is Serbia 2019. The song is called Kruna. And she was called Navina Bezovic. Oh, I feel like I've really hit the post with that.
Oh, I think you might have hit both posts and the bar before it's come back. James, I'm pleased to tell you that you have got 3 points, but you knew that already, right?
Yes, I did. I presume you're not going to give me a point for the name of the artist.
Can you be honest with me and remind me what name you said? Can you remember?
I said Navina Bezovic or something.
Oh, God.
I really hit the post and it's been cleared off the line, I imagine.
Oh, so I'm going to be really mean, and I think everyone listening will think I've been really mean as well. I'm going to give you 3 points. So it is, okay, of course, Serbia 2019. It is, the song was called Kruna, and it was Navina Brozovic.
No.
Very, very close. But 3 points are yours, so therefore it means that you now have a 14-8 lead. Let us have a listen. James, so, so close. Very, very well done. I don't think I'd have got it from just the first second. But yeah, very, very well done. You're on good form this year.
Yes. Yeah, I'm pleased with that. And, you know, I could make a scene about not getting that fourth point, but I will just accept the three that I got and let the outrage from the listeners ensue. You can fight my battle for me.
You're going to be the bigger person.
I am. I'm going to be the bigger person. I've got a lead. I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to stick with the lead I've got. So thanks for the 3 points at least.
Any idea why I chose that as this week's 1 second song?
No. What have we done? Denmark? Belgium? Iceland? Not a clue.
Okay. Well, where was the contest held in 2014?
Denmark.
And if we then look at the other two countries that we've talked about on the podcast this week. We have talked about Iceland and we have talked about Belgium. So what we've done, James, strap yourself in. We have added together the points that Iceland and Belgium scored at the Eurovision Song Contest in 2014. Now, Iceland made the grand final in 2014. Belgium, unfortunately, did not. So if you add the points of Pola Ponk and Axel Hirsu together, you get 89 points, and that was their points in the semi-final, by the way. And what was the last song to get 89 points at the Eurovision Song Contest? Serbia 2019.
Oh, well, anyway, that's remarkably convoluted, but fun nevertheless. Anyway, yes, points are 14-8, so that is the lead I will carry into next week, which is, of course, when we'll be back with you for the next episode of the Eurotrip, and, of course, we'll be back on Monday, the next episode of Malthus Monday.
I think, James, I might not be over-promising, I hope I'm not. I think next week's going to be a three-episode week.
Oh, don't say that to me. I'm already tired. I feel overworked, Rob.
Well, because, of course, next week, Monday, Malthus Monday, Wednesday, regular episode of the Eurotrip, and then, of course, on March the 1st, we are getting the United Kingdom's entry for the Eurovision Song Contest, which I feel is worthy of an episode.
It may well be. It may well be. We'll just have to wait and see. I say may well. You know fine well what
it is. So, can't be asking people for money on Buy Me a Coffee and then not give them an episode when the UK released their Eurovision entry.
Oh, well, that's a firm promise now then, isn't it? There you go. We'll be back next week for three brand new episodes. So, until then, don't forget, you can do all the usual stuff that I've totally forgotten that what I usually say at this point.
Right, I always say this in the wrong order, so let's give it a go. You can leave us a review, you can rate us 5 stars, and you can subscribe wherever you're listening.
Yes, and at Eurotrip Podcast on the socials, hello at eurotrippodcast.com on the email, eurotrippodcast.com is the email, and buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip Podcast.
So, from him, James,
it's goodbye, and from him, Rob,
it's goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
we want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.